Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brian, the GAA has written to clubs around the country to remind them of the rules around competitiveness at under 12 level. They have a programme in place for that age group called Go Games, and they say that there is no change in that, but simply what they call a doubling down of the regulations. I'm joined by Ray Silk, former Galway football captain and underage coach, and also Mary McCarthy, columnist with the Irish Independent. So, Ray, what do you think of this directive from HQ? It's a reminder, a doubling down.
Yeah, I agree with Alan Milton spoke very well on his quotes, just saying that it's been here for quite a while, and just in case people forget, and I would agree with it, I think under 12 should be about participation, it should be about enjoyment, it should be about skill development. And, you know, the better young fellas can keep scoring their head if they want, but it's not about coaches or parents saying, oh, we beat Glenamaddy and Glenamaddy beat Tuam and Coola beat Sylvester's. It's not about that. It's about fun. And I think one of the basic tenets of the GAA is about having as many people playing the sport for as long as possible. And if over-competitiveness at underage is a deterrent to people continuing in the sport, then most definitely I would 100% advocate it and agree with the statement.
Mary, you think competition, though, is crucial for children, do you?
Claire, I do. I think it's useful. It creates momentum. The kids actually like it, right? Like they, you know, and like I think it's a farce because they will be keeping score in their head. So it's still going to go on. It's just going to be hidden, you know. But I think, like, I actually coach kids cricket, and even the kids who aren't that interested, they peek up whenever I bring some competition into the games we do. I say, okay, who's going to bat the furthest? Even the kids who aren't that great at it, right, they still want to take part. And I think that kids enjoy the competition. Like when my son is playing football, like he'd be shouting at me, Mammy, what's the score? They need it to drive them
so
along.
So you think it's innate in children, this competitiveness?
I think it's useful in the sport because they want to show up for their team, right? They want to do their best for their team. I think if you took out the scoring, I think you would lose momentum. You'd actually be at risk of some kids not showing up to matches because parents, you know, it is quite an effort for parents to make sure their kids go to matches. But if the score is taken out of it, well, then it doesn't really matter if you show up or not, you know.
So, but competitiveness is also blamed, isn't it, Ray, for people dropping out?
Yeah, look, I understand where Mary's coming from, but I just think it's an age thing. I think under 9, 10 and 11, kids are happy to play there. And, you know, I have two boys and two girls, and I coach them when they're younger. And it's about skill development there at that stage. And I think if they enjoy it and if it's good fun, they will attend. Because, you know, we got beaten in an All-Ireland final in community games, and the kids were very, very disappointed and upset. But I think they learned more from that than had we won it on certain occasion, because life is full of wins and losses. But I just think it's too young, I think. I think it should be about fun. We come across a lot now, and I don't know, does Mary see it in cricket, but we call it physical literacy. Some children come to trainings now at under 8, under 9, under 10, and the first thing you have to teach them is how to catch a ball. You have to teach them the very basics, because whatever they're doing at home, maybe mum and dad haven't gone outside enough with them, maybe they don't have the facilities or the space. But I think, and I would feel very strongly, that there's no huge, the emphasis should not be on winning. I would even say as far as under 14 and under 16. And the top clubs in Galway, like Curraghfin and Nemo Rangers down in Cork, they don't emphasise winning until much later in the kid's career, because nobody remembers under 12 and under 14 or under 16 what you won. You're about developing people, and I do...
I don't know about that, Ray. I bet you do.
There's one point I'd stress as well, that the GAA, Clare, is a community-based organisation. That is our raison d'etre, to try and have people involved in the community, supporting it. And I teach in a Jesuit school where we push very hard on cura personalis, which is the whole person. And if you just have an under 14, under 15 worrying about winning, and I have a 13-year-old boy who... But I'm trying to distill a little bit more compassion in him, that he isn't just about winning. Because if that's all you're doing in sport, what happens when you have a major loss?
Mary?
Okay, Ray, I totally disagree with you. I think it's never too early to inoculate kids against disappointment, right, and expose them to losing, and then let them know there's nothing wrong with losing. Like my son is 10, and he has not won a football match this season. So he comes back, he's the goalie every Saturday, and he's full of beans because they did great fun, he really enjoyed it, and his team go out there every week. You know, their effervescence is remarkable. They go out there and they lose. So we call them the Mighty Ducks. I don't know if you know, Claire, that the hockey movie about 30 years ago. And it's all about building team spirit. So you go out there and you fight for your team. And yes, you lose. But you know what? That doesn't matter.
So are you saying that that teaches him about resilience at the age of 10?
I think it does. And I think it's never too early to teach kids that, you know, it's okay to fail, but it's not okay not to throw yourself in there, to take part. You know, I just think, what's that quote from Maya Angelou? You'll face many defeats, but don't let yourself be defeated. And that's the message you want to send.
And but Ray thinks that 10 is just too young to learn that lesson.
Ray, I know where Ray's coming from and I fully respect that, but I think the problem is parents. Parents are taking this too seriously. And they're the ones that are telling their kids, it's not okay if you lose. And then those kids feel, they go in then with this feel, you know, this feeling that they can't lose and they're putting pressure. So the anxiety is created all by parents. That's just what I see.
So
I'm also involved in a football club.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Claire. I'm involved in a football club and I think the parents are all lovely. I love them all. But I think where there is an anxious child about winning and losing, their parent is the one that's pushing it.
So Ray, what do you say to that? That actually children under 12 could deal with this, but the parents can't?
Look, that's an interesting point, but I would hope that parents would be educated and mature enough to deal with their son or daughter doing not playing maybe as well or not winning or losing. I take that on board, but I think the bigger picture is the drop-off rate for young males and particularly young females as they grow up. And I canvassed a few classes there. We did a little bit of a survey, and some of them did say that it becomes too intense too early. So a few of the girls that did play with a club here in the city, three of them I was talking to, all packed it in, and I said, why? And they said, look, it just got too heavy, too intense, and coach is saying you can't go to this on a Friday night. I was appalled even to hear that kind of thing. Like, what's wrong with going and maybe having a hug and a kiss at a disco and still playing the match the next day? So I wouldn't say it's only parents. I do think some coaches get too up themselves, as we say, and it's like delayed gratification. Some coaches I know who never played sport that well themselves, they come with a clipboard and they're ticking off things and you kind of like relax a little bit. Like, I think when we lose the fun element of it, and look, I'm in education for 30 years. If kids are enjoying the class, they will work harder. If they're enjoying, we've gone into more of a carrot than a stick. Why do 75% of young females walk away from sport when they hit 15, 16, 17? That's the big question. And perhaps it's because it got too serious, too intense, and winning and losing became too much of an important issue at 12, 13 and 14. I don't think that's important at that age. I think what's important is that they're enjoying it, the skill development, they meet friends, they're connected in the community, and that in 10 years' time, if I go down to see my Cullen lady seniors playing, I would hope that six or seven of the girls that I coached were part of that team. And that to me is the key performance indicator. You're not whether they won the under 14 and under 16 titles. To me, that's irrelevant.
And you think it is the competitive element that is driving young girls and young women away from sport?
Look, Claire, I'm a middle-aged man. I don't know, but the 13 and 14...
Mary thinks she knows. Mary, go ahead.
I'm a woman. This is controversial. I just don't think a lot of them don't like... They don't like the sport. They just don't want to do it. And you can't force it, you know? I would love my child to be involved, my daughter to be involved in football. I would love it. I'm involved in the football club, but she doesn't want to play. She doesn't like it. So you can't force it. Let kids try it. I do think, Ray, that like... I think coaches are not to blame, right? Because from what I see, now I've no experience with GAA, maybe they're different beasts over there, but from what I see, coaches give a lot of their time and the last thing they want is morale on the floor. They want kids to feel, you know, that they can do it. They don't want them to feel bad. So I haven't seen any coaches, any coaches do
Ray,
that.
What about the idea that really skillful players, the really competitive ones, that they're held back by the lack of competition? Do you subscribe to that view at all?
Yeah, I have a 13-year-old boy, I have two of them actually. It's great for the child benefit. But twins are better. They were one and a half. But on the way in, I was asking him, should we play the under-15s all and not play the under-14s? He's an under-14. He goes, well, I'm better than most of those under-15s, so why can't I play? I practice and I train. So, you know, you are trying to balance that point as well. Just a few tips for the listeners, right? One of the top coaches of my Colm Gavin is his name. He's heavily involved. He plays music now, so he brings a boom box down to the under 16 girls session. So for 20 minutes or half an hour, they're playing, they're doing the stretching to music, and he's getting fantastic attendance. We might have over 40 in that group. I think that's a super initiative to make it fun. I take Mary's point that they don't like it, but then the question is, why don't they like it? And the second thing, I'd say basketball, I coach basketball, well, I don't coach, I do the clock and stuff. Mm-hmm. A brilliant thing to do in basketball, Claire, is, I'm not sure you heard this, once the winning team goes 20 points up, they stop the clock, they stop adding the scores against opposition. And I think from a morale point of view, that's a really, really positive.
They didn't do that. I played basketball in my teenage years, and they definitely didn't do that. If you were hammered, they allowed it to happen.
The kids would be annoyed at that. Like, you know, it's like it kind of takes the fun out of it. The music is amazing. I love that idea. One thing, Ray, I don't know where you stand on streaming. Like, I would actually be totally against streaming until after 12, because I think streaming definitely does take the fun out of it, because kids are told, no, you're not good enough for that team. And I think that's what's driving a lot of the bad side of competition.
And that is allowed in the GAA, isn't it, Ray, the streaming?
Yeah, well, it's not an issue for a small club, but if you take Kilmacud Cokes, just as an example, they might have 100 under-12s, 90, you know, the huge numbers. So they stream from that point of view then. And look, I don't agree with it, but I understand why. If you don't stream, you have an 11-year-old boy who's the best in the parish, and he's playing against the other kid who might be in the top, you know, in the worst. And he can really make an easy of him from that point of view. And like, taking Mary's point, that's okay, because winning and losing is part of what it's about. But I think from the morale of the young child, the well-being of the young child, I don't think that's good enough. But that is, I understand why they do it. If you've got 100 kids on the pitch, are you going to stream them by ability or not? Maybe you could just go 50-50. I don't agree with it, but I understand why clubs do it.
Yeah, a listener wants to know, how would this affect, this reminder from the GAA, the Cumann na Munsell competition? It's a primary school competition. The children get an opportunity to play in Croke Park. And this listener says it would be a shame to get rid of it. But that's not affected by this, is it, Ray?
No, well, look, I'm just reading Alan Milton. He's Director of Communications with Croke Park. That's not mentioned there, unless Cumann na Munsell is on a slightly different strand, I don't know. And likewise with the community games, which is a hugely successful thing for under-10s, that is competitive as well. So it's a good question, Claire, and one of your researchers will have to figure it out. I don't know.
Yeah.
But one other thing the girls came up, and I thought it was a really good point, and like, I would be always, we believe in Clough Chignod and the Jez here, a Jesuit school, we believe very strongly in student voice. So I'm just telling you the student voice. So two other things that I wrote down that I thought was fantastic. One of the girls said the facilities for the LGFA is not comparable or not good enough for what we want to do. And she said one of the reasons we wouldn't have nowhere to tug out, we always got the worst pitch. And I think the most important thing for GAA to do in the next 24 months is for the Camogie Association and the LGFA, forget the politics, girls, but get in and be an equal shared partner in the GAA, because the facilities, and we saw it, Kildare, Camogie, one of my best friends, his daughter plays with intermediate,
yeah,
Galway, no expenses, no travel, you pay for your own physio. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not acceptable. Like, we're talking about an equal society. And the second one, and I'll finish on this, I asked 40 girls this morning, can you name one Gaelic football star, ladies Gaelic football star? Nobody could tell me one. No Cora Staunton, no Hannah Tyrrell, nobody. And she said, well, we don't know the role models. So the Irish Times, News Talk, Today FM, Radio 1, that's on the game. There isn't even one quarter of parity as regards, and I know it's bums on seats, I understand the logistics, but unless they can see, how can they expect to be?
Okay, and I know there are plenty of female analysts and commentators now across the board when it comes to broadcast, certainly in GAA coverage. Just a final one, Mary, on this.
Yeah.
Definitely for girls, this is from a listener, for girls' sports, the focus on winning causes some of them to stop playing because they're not good enough, which is crazy at 11 or 12 years. Do you agree with that?
I think that is really sad to hear. And
but they compete in gymnastics, they compete in basketball,
in
they compete
running,
in Irish dancing.
Yeah. I know. I can only go.
Maybe
on
it
what
does come back
I
to
see.
What you're saying, that it's the sport, that they just maybe don't enjoy the sport.
And I think that's fine. I mean, I think, you know, I do not want to push my daughter into doing sports that she doesn't want to do. And if girls don't want to do football, they don't want to do GAA. You can't force these things, Claire, you know?
All right, we'll leave it there. Mary McCarthy and Ray Sill, thank you both very much for your time. That was a fascinating discussion. Coming up next, though, Adam Maguire has been finding out why Ireland might be falling off the bill for the big acts. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.